Okay, guys. As somebody once said, I really love it when a plan comes together, even when you haven't planned it. This morning, the reflective songs that we sang sort of connect with where I want to go this morning, because a lot of what we were doing was figuring the fact that as human beings, we tend to worry a bit. And we tend to find ourselves anxious about stuff that goes on. And while we don't all find ourselves at the other end of the world being threatened with not being able to travel for 13 weeks, which is what happened to Rolf just a couple of months ago, we do find that there are things that bear in upon us. By the way, we're going to interview Rolf on a couple of occasions next Saturday night and on Sunday morning, and I'm looking forward to trying to unscramble, as I talk to Rolf, what the balance was between knowing that his Heavenly Father was there and feeling as though he was very, very isolated as well. Because if people tell a story which only emphasises the good bits, and the further you get from the event, the easier it is to do that, of course. It is really unhelpful to the next guy who comes along and find themselves in problems. We're also going to be interviewing Chiquita on Sunday as well, so different kind of format then. Now, let's have a look at how much time we've got. I don't want to spend too long talking. I do want to give you a chance to reflect as we go through. I was going to be interviewing Carol as part of the talk this morning, but she's had to stand in for Dane, so that sort of altered the mix a little bit. But here's how we're going to work. Last Saturday, the papers arrived, and as I do, I split them up into two bits. I took the main section and turned immediately to Simon Hoggart, whose column I read over breakfast on the Saturday morning, and took the family section upstairs to Wendy, who uses it as one of her excuses for not getting up on a Saturday morning. Actually, yesterday she was in a hurry. It was her birthday yesterday, so now she's as old as me again. And lots of birthdays around at the moment. Joe, who is considerably older than me, had a birthday this week. It's older, wiser, and much, much fitter, I have to say. You know, I always think that for somebody of my advanced years, I do a load of exercise and work quite hard at it. But then I've got a couple of friends who just knock the spots off it, as far as I'm concerned. When you think that both Roy, mind you, of course, the excuse is that both Roy and Joe were in the Air Force, so they're fitness addicts anyway, so that doesn't really count. I sort of want to compare myself with people who don't have that sort of obsessive compulsive attitude to in whom it approaches a disorder. I gave Wendy this, and on the way up I looked at this, and there was the title, Should We Fear the Eye Nanny? And I thought, oh no, what's an eye nanny? I don't know what I should be worried about. And of course, the tagline on here was, this week a four-year-old was treated for screen addiction. Emma Cook investigates the dangerous seduction of smartphones and tablets. I remember when our kids were small, the addiction on Saturday morning wasn't to tablets, but to something called multicoloured swap shop. Will you go and tidy your room? I will go in a minute. And then you would come back. I will go in a minute. I just want to see this first. Yeah, that sort of thing still happens, doesn't it? But I was at the time developing a set of kids' materials, reflective materials for church and for school as well, and was taking stuff out of Proverbs. And Matthew in particular used to stand by the doorpost into the family room so that he gave the impression of just going. Yeah. And you know, there's a proverb that says, what does a lazy man do? A lazy man is like a door swinging on its hinges. Yeah? That was really the action, swinging on its hinges. Yes, I'm going. No, I'm not. Yes, I'm going. No, I'm not. And he still does it to his wife as well today. Yeah. Mind you, when his staff at school do it, I should imagine his attitude is a bit different. But yeah, our concern, our anxieties about children, right from the time they're born, are some of the most tenacious and difficult to deal with. Right from the time when you have a new baby, where you wish it would be quiet so you could go to sleep, and then you're worried about whether it's dead because you can't hear it. I don't think a second baby affects you so much, does it, in that way? Or do you still find, Donna, that you want to know that there's some sort of piglet noises coming from us? Yeah. Yeah. I know that by the time you get to number four, you're just happy that the place is quiet. You know, one of our major motivations for teaching children at the time was that you play quietly in your bedroom until the big hand is there and the little hand is there, and we don't want to see you. I don't know whether anybody ever tried one of those rabbit clocks, did you? Mm-hmm. You know, when the rabbit's eyes open, did they scare the stuffing out of your children? Yeah. Oh, yours are much, much tougher than ours. They were frightened that the rabbit was going to look at them. It was dreadful. But I thought, here's an exercise this morning. Now, if I let you do this, guys, when I say stop and pay attention to me, I want you to do so. But look, I read the Eye during the week, which is pretty good paper. Once again, my criterion for having the Eye is, first of all, that it only costs 20p, and second of all, that I can read it while I'm eating breakfast, and then it's done with, and I don't keep getting attracted back to it, apart from the crossword, during the day. But I'm surprised at how often the newspapers start off and their headline is telling you something you should be worried about that you've never thought of up to that point, or something you should be worried about that you can't understand. And we've bought a bunch of papers this morning, so just spend a few minutes having a look at them, and we're going to gather in some ideas about the kind of things they tell the newspapers think that we should be worried, anxious or concerned about. Okay? There are the papers. Go get them. Okay. In a moment, I'm going to take the mic round, or Ian's going to take the mic round so that we can get your responses on the recording. But Heidi has already increased my level of anxiety this morning because she's brought something back to mind that I was worrying about during the week. We have somebody who's quite regularly in our house. And a few months ago, she came in, and she said to me, what's wrong with you? She said, you've lost your mojo. Now, I worried about that for a little while, but I dismissed it because I didn't know what mojo was. And halfway through this week, some connection came up with mojo, and I started to worry about it again. And now the third voice speaking into my lack of mojo is, look, caution. The following pages contain mojo. There's always something you're lacking or you're not sure you've got. But what sort of anxiety areas are being provoked in the papers? If you've got one, just wave your hand about a bit or show some sort of sign of it.
Oh, all right. Can't be trusted with the mic. Shrink inflation. Proof that products are getting smaller while the price you pay stays the same.
Yep. Definitely true of Mars bars.
Yeah, Mars bars are down here. Well, the actual headline says EU rules threaten free banking. Yep. Banking is never free. And I think, you know, just look at the picture on there. It's just everyone going, ah!
Yeah.
Yes, that RBS has £20 billion to lend, but because there's no confidence in the economy, They just can't get anyone to take on the money, take on the risk. So there's a lack of confidence in the economy.
What about the show over here? Oh, go to Richard first.
It says no one knows how long the good weather's going to last.
This is the Eurozone is still on the danger list. The Eurozone economy has contracted every single quarter since the end of 2011.
Yes.
We've got oaks at risk from killer caterpillars.
And there's Sue over there.
Police say killers will go free in a crazy move to destroy all DNA samples after 6 months.
Okay.
They want to get rid of them after 6 months, which is crazy.
So, any more? Right, guys. I would be grateful if just for a moment or two, unless you can very effectively do two things at once, you at least don't make too much noise with the papers. Carry on. Look, here's the thing. I'm actually going to put our resident muso, Tina, on the spot in a minute or two. But there's two exercises for you to do. I'm going to play a... what once upon a time was called a mix, and by now I think is understood to be a mash-up of some songs that was put together by somebody. And we'll ask all of you afterwards if you can pick out what the songs are that are there. They're all on the theme of worry and anxiety. In fact, I can only identify two, and of course there might only be two in there, but I suspect there are rather more than that. The other thing I'd like you to do is to try and think of the list of things, the groups of things that we tend to worry about. Okay? What are the sort of areas that we worry? And for some of you, the answer may be everything. Let's try and pin it down a bit further than that. So, were there any more than the two obvious ones? No, okay. I played at the beginning, I played the Mark Knopfler song. And here's a question for Tina. Who did he write that for?
I couldn't hear the Mark Knopfler song.
Why worry? Why worry? Do you know, he wrote it for the Everly Brothers. Very strange. Yeah. In fact, I was going to show you the... show you the video of that. But he got Chet Atkins playing with him as well. I look at Joe, as probably only Joe and I, and possibly Roy, would know who Chet Atkins was. But with Knopfler, who doesn't seem to change at all, Chet Atkins, who's wearing braces, and the Everly Brothers on, it looked almost as strange as Brian Wilson performing, but that's a by the way there. But there are so many songs, and even recent ones, so the sort of house dancey thing from the Swedish House Mafia, Don't Worry Child, is another song. There are loads and loads out there. In fact, I got myself really distracted last night when Wendy was watching Casualty, just going through and through and through and seeing how many songs there were on that sort of thing. Because worry, anxiety, is part of human existence. So what are the areas, if you were to categorise the areas that people worry about, what would they be? Just shout some out. Sorry?
Illness.
Illness, yes.
Money.
Illness, money.
Work.
Money, work. Can we just actually separate out money and work? Are those two different?
Yeah.
So what is extra apart from money and work?
Relationships.
Relationships, yeah, which of course is another...
And status.
Yeah.
Relationships. So if we... Status, competence. I'm going to say ability. Actually, I want to hang on to that one, because that actually represents... You know, my life changed when I got a company car, because there was a whole set of anxieties there that somebody else was responsible for. Yeah? And you start to own your car again, and goodness me, it all changes. But the car, I'm just going to put that over there, because that's a thing that has a whole set of worries around it, doesn't it? Yeah? Actually, you could put children. That's another set of people who... children in cars. We will return to that subject, actually, in a minute or two. Yeah, but what else? They cover quite a lot of them, don't they? Future. Yeah. So once you start to think about the future, the problem is that all this stuff, you know, once, you know, is in the future. There are future things that... that bother us. Anything else?
Terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Environment.
The environment. Environmental issues. Yeah.
And death.
Environment. And let's finish with death. Or not, actually, if the case might be. Do you think historically and over time people have got to worry more or less?
I suspect we have more things to worry.
Yeah. Sorry?
It's fed.
Yeah, it is fed, isn't it? Yeah.
What about money? And then the big thing in it. It's about vineyards in France, so you could get yourself, you know, out of it.
Yeah. I'm interested in that as a question, because I found myself reading Bible passage, the obvious Bible passage about this, and was thinking about my visits to India and to Africa, and thinking about what's different about the sorts of worries. And my feeling is that worry is pretty consistent over the whole of human circumstances. Now, I think we worry less about illness than most Africans I know. Yeah? You know, the National Health Service has transformed the basis of how things are for us. About money... Actually, I think we probably worry less about that as well. You know, I need some money. Oh, what do you need some money for? Well, I need money because my child needs to go to the hospital. Remember, we were talking the other week about the motor scooter that we've funded being used to take a child to hospital in Kathmandu. You know, you're so reliant on so many things. Other things do take their place, and there's an extent to which that our consumerisms, the consumerism and our consumer society, which gives us huge control over our lives and stuff, does actually diminish the things that we worry about, and actually possibly pushes things to be more diffuse, more difficult to get our hands on them. But just listen to this. Now, I did think that I might play a recording of a song which comes out of here. Many of you will know the song His Eyes on the Sparrow, which we used to sing in church when I was a kid, but was repopularised in Sister Act, wasn't it? It came out there and got a lot of replays, and so many people have recorded it since then. But this is what Jesus said. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Okay, two sets of worries, worrying about your life and what you'll wear. Okay, those things have transferred pretty much across 2,000 years, haven't they? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Okay? Yeah, probably decrease it. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I find that little bit at the end really quite strange, because it doesn't sound so much like you would expect Jesus to be engaged in. It's just plain common sense. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Now, that's true for most of the population. It's not true for my wife, Wendy, that she should not worry about tomorrow. She should worry about tomorrow. She should think about tomorrow. She has the ultimate ability to drive me crazy by taking life as it comes, which I don't do. And so I stack up a load of anxieties for myself that she's not involved in. But I'm interested in the prescription here, because the prescription seems to me to be twofold. The first is that there's a strong rational element in it. Don't worry. By worrying, can any of you add an hour to your life, or an alternative translation, 1 foot 6 inches to your height? Yeah? Worrying does not work in those areas. There's also this thing, do not worry about tomorrow. And of course, the principle behind this is one of the fundamental things that if you're suffering with anxiety, you have to deal with on a rational level. What is there that you can control? What is there that you cannot control? If you can't control it, if you can't change it, there's nothing you can do about it. So there really is no point in worrying. Now, of course, if you find yourself in the sort of situation that Rolf was, and we were going to do an interview with Carol this morning, who recently was told by her doctor that she needed to go to the breast clinic to be checked out. And that's really very immediate, so I wanted to talk to her about the process of that and how she'd found that. Some of those things you know you can't deal with. They affect your life. If you're a Christian, you believe that God has your life in his hands, but they still cause anxiety. They cause anxiety, because you're worried about pain or about what will happen to you. They cause worry for some of us because we feel out of control under those circumstances. So that's where anxiety, that's where the rational bit doesn't help so much. Do you find yourself worrying about things you can't control? Well, the pain of that, I think, is that that has to be connected with the other element that's in here, which is relational. Not only are there rational aspects of our anxiety, there are relational aspects, and by that I mean our trust in a Heavenly Father, in a good God. I have found that on my best moments, and when I say my best moments, you may need a magnifying glass to see what they are, where I have found myself overwhelmed by anxiety. And normally it happens when I'm driving. It used to happen when I was mowing the grass with when we had a small mower. I've got a bigger mower now, so it deals with my anxieties. It's over in 20 minutes. I'm just thinking through ordinary stuff then. I guess people sometimes find that they've got activities which are mindless and therefore actually lead to having too much time to think. But I found that I could actually sometimes go through a process and say, well, what's the worst that can happen? Does God still love me? And then, well, if that's happened, does God still love me? And if that's happened, does God still love me? And of course, the things that we struggle with there, so I want to say that, first of all, there's a rational element, there's a relational element, which is indicative of areas in our relationship with God, which has got a weakness about it. There's also another factor in the mix, and that factor is that when we are concerned for other people, when we're anxious for other people, that is particularly tenacious. But before I come on to that, I found this little clip which expresses the issue of control, of worry. And I'm going to put the volume up first, and then I'll take it down later, if necessary. But just watch this.
Worry about the phone. Worry about the phone.
Can I help?
No. Okay. Worry about
the phone.
But I think that was what I was saying about children and cars. This business of getting once upon a time, it was really relatively easy to put a child into a car seat. Now I think they complicate the things on purpose. Yeah. Used to let them wander around the back seat. That was the easy way to do it. There's a really interesting bit here. I won't read all of it because we're just about to run out of time. But in Philippians, this business of anxiety has been very tenacious. Do you know, one of the problems I think with people, with those of us who read the Bible and use it to speak from, we have got a horrible habit of just picking the bits that make a particular case. And so I could easily pick from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, where it says, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. But then you flip back a couple of pages, and you get to chapter 2, and in verse 25, but I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, and but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him, you may be glad again, and I may have less anxiety. I think Paul, just two pages on, is saying, don't be anxious. And I think he's thinking about himself as well. So, what are we trying to do at the moment? What I'm trying to do is to say, there seems to me to be a whole range of stuff that causes us anxiety. Some of it's out of our personal circumstances. Some of it's because we expose ourselves to people and sources that encourage us to be anxious. They make something out of it by creating more dependency on our part. There are responses that we can make to anxiety. First of all, ones that are rational. Okay? I have a set of little things that if I find that anxiety is getting a hold of me, I have a look at those and work through them. And I find those things often very helpful. If you want to know what they are, the person who's custodian of advice on that subject is Carol. I think she's got some cards somewhere that might have some anxiety busters on, or at least if not, she can surface them for you quite easily. So there's the rational things. There are the relational things. The only point in praying is if you believe, right? Prayer without faith is a waste of time. So when we pray to God in the name of Jesus, we believe that there is help available to us, and that makes a difference. Then there are habits of mind that we can develop that are based on our relationship with God. But then over against that, we find ourselves in positions where there are still things that cause us anxiety. Anxiety is part of the human condition. The problem is when it gets out of control. What I'd like you to do is I'm going to play another track. I think we've just about got time for it. You've got a choice, really, to talk to one another about how you cope with anxiety and what you think the things are that have turned out to be anxiety busters for you. Or you can just follow the song through. And it's got quite a lot of fairly sharp, fairly good messages in.
Do you want to lower the volume?
No. It's very rare that I want to lower the volume. Except I must... no, I won't. Because it's not relevant. So, chance to talk to one another about what you've found helps in the area of anxiety, or just to follow the... Okay, I'll... that's a song from New Song, who, to my memory, were recording with Sparrow Music back as far as 1992, so they must be one of the longest-lasting American contemporary Christian music bands. We'll put it up on Tumblr and the other sources in a day or two. But I just wanted to finish with these words, because when I was thinking about anxiety the other day and was struggling with my own sort of issues which are around things which are there in my life, these words, I found these words in Psalm 94. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation, your comfort brought me joy. Try and grab hold of that one and... you know what I say? Write it on a card, stick it on the mirror where you'll see it in the morning, and spend time meditating on it. Anxiety? Great. Comfort? Why don't I use the word consolation? I don't know, because comfort is exactly what it means. And joy. Get those factors playing out in your mind. Let's pray. Father, we're very conscious of the fact that anxiety is something that's part of the human condition and has spread over time. And first of all, I pray for Lisa and her parents and for her grandparents as well, that they might know what it is to find your peace and good expectations in the inevitable time-to-time anxieties they feel. For the rest of us who have got relationships, and we all have, have got work, and we all have got health issues and things that we reflect on, and have got a future, we pray that we will know your presence in our lives in such a way that we are able to, by faith, encounter anxiety and deal with it when it threatens to overcome us. Amen. That's it.